Thanks, Sachi. Morning, church. I just want to thank the senior pastors and the pastors and you, the congregation, for this opportunity. And most of all, I want to thank God that I'm able to come up and share with you today. So before I start, I just want to remind you about my niece that we were praying for in South Africa that had quite a horrible accident about a month ago. And her mother's up here just for the Christmas holidays, but she's made quite a drastic recovery because she was in the ICU and she couldn't, she was in a coma and she's just come out of that. So let's give the Lord a hand for his faithfulness. I'll have to put on my binoculars. I've entitled the message today, brothers and sisters, Our Faithful Calling. So my brother was just more or less confirming what the message is today. It's all about our faithfulness. So, sorry. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And we know hope is confident, our confidence in God's faithfulness, that no matter what we ask for, he's able to do it. Isn't that good? That we can have confidence in God's faithfulness, that whatever we ask for, that he's able to do it. And so we look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 31 that says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. We are running a race, and it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, because if you're going to sprint, you're going to get tired and burn out. Before you know, you're just going to be on the side. But if you go too slow, you're not going to catch up. So you've got to just have a pace as you are running, that you want to run, that you are able to receive the prize at the end of it all. So this is the race that we're running, and all we're asking is that we are able to endure until the end. And so I've got a question. Well, it says, is it the beginning? Is it the end of the beginning, which is creation? Or is it the beginning of the end, which is the last days? And we look around the world today, and we see a lot of things going on. Wars, rumors of wars, sickness, everything under the sun that is contrary to the word is what we see going on. It's like a page out of the book of Revelation. So we say, Lord, we need you more than ever before. This is our faithful calling. Because if we look at the world around us and start to fear, you know, that's false evidence appearing real. It's the opposite of faith. So we got to have faith in our calling. So I go to my first scripture there. Yeah, thanks, man. Which is an invitation. So a king arranged a marriage feast for his son. And we know the king is the King of Kings, is our Lord and our Savior and Father God. And he sent out his servants to go and invite the guests. And so the servants went out and said to the guests, come over, everything is ready. But the guest said, we're too busy. One said, I'm going to my farm. The other one said, I'm going to my business. Are we too busy today to serve the Lord, to be found in church, just fellowshipping? Yeah, we've got a lot going on. Sports, work, family. But we got to know how important our calling is. And so, servants came back and said, man, people aren't interested in coming. So the king said, okay, I'll send other servants. So he sent other servants, and they come out and say, look, everything is prepared. We just need you to come. But we know these servants are the prophets, the pastors, the people that are going out to share the gospel throughout the world. It's not just us. It's people out there. Nobody is interested. And the second lot of servants were taken hold of by the guest. Excuse me. And what they did was treat them spitefully, you know? And so that's what has been going on since the beginning of time. Prophets have been coming, sharing the word. People are not happy to receive that relationship that Father God wants to have with us. People are, I've got too much going on to be spending time. But the Lord, He loves us. That's why He keeps on sending the servants again. But this second lot of servants were unfortunate, because after they've treated some of them spitefully, they took hold of others and killed them. So those that went back told the king, hey, look, this is what has happened. So the king was very angry. So what did he do next? He sent out his armies to destroy those murderers, which is what they were. But we look in, it's in the book of Matthew, when the Lord is talking, they said, what will the end be like? The disciples asked him. And he said, it'll be like in the days of Noah. People are marrying, they are living their normal lives, but they just don't want to have a relationship with Father God. Isn't that what we see going on around us nowadays? People are busy, we're living a normal life, but they just don't want that extra to know that we got to serve this God that has created everything for us. So what was the result? We know, the floods. Floods came, but God kept a remnant because He always wants to have a relationship and fellowship with us. He wants to be there for us. And then we know it went on again in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people were, what we say, beyond. So Abraham, Father Abraham was pleading with God. Look, if there be 50 people in Sodom, will you spare them? So the Lord said, yes. If there are 50 faithful there, I will spare them. The numbers went down because there was not 50. 45? No. 40? No. Down until we came to 5. Said, if there be 5, I will spare. There was not even 5. And that's when the angels came in to take Lot and his daughters and his wife out of there. But we know the wife didn't make it because she looked back. You see, sometimes we got to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, on what He's called us to do. And when we look back at our past and try and see, hey, but how was I operating those years? Something goes wrong. Fix your eyes and focus on the Lord Jesus. And they were handed over to a depraved mind, and then that was the end. And so that's what happened with the king. He sent out his armies. They destroyed those murderous people. But guess what? He said to the servants once again, go out. But this time, go to the highways and the byways and bring everybody. So we know the first lot of people were the chosen, God's chosen people, Israel, which refused. So then He opened the door to you and I, Christians, Gentiles, to come into fellowship and relationship with him. So the servants went out again, but this time to the highways and the byways, to the lame, the sick, the deaf, everybody that was not well were welcome. When we came to the Lord, we were not well. We all had some baggage. We all come from a past. But yet the Lord was waiting with open arms. Come, I want to be in relationship with you. Amen. And we see from there, they were in the wedding banquet in the hall. And the Lord comes in. I mean, the king comes in to greet the guests. And he comes in, and as he comes towards the front, he sees a guy there. He hasn't got on the wedding garment. He slipped in somehow. So the king is like, mate or friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? If somebody invited you to the wedding, even if you didn't have enough money for a new suit, at least wash that old suit, whatever you had, wash it. At least make it look presentable. And then your shoes, if you haven't got polish, just take a little bit of a damp cloth, just wipe it. That is the garment. That is preparing ourselves to be with the Lord. We can't just go from an infant to high school. We've got to go through primary school. Prepare yourself to meet the Lord. So when the guests were invited, they had to prepare themselves. But this one slipped in. So we can't expect. We don't serve the Lord. We don't have nothing to do with him. But when we close our eyes, we want to open them in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Let's start praising. I think they won't even know the songs, the hymns. Because why? The heaven had the preparation. This is what we need. Is that relationship with the Lord. And so the king said to the servants, bind him and cast him into outer darkness. That is separation from the Lord, which is the worst thing, is being out of relationship with the Lord. Because now that we have relationship, we know we have that covering, that insight. But when you lose that, you are done. And so, that brings me to the next one, my next point, which is we got to be prepared. Be prepared. And have you got my scripture there, brother? Ah, no, man. We go back, Proverbs, yep. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. So, I just want to ask a question. I just want to take you back a little bit in time. It's like you're imagining or you're dreaming. All right, we got maybe some young teenagers or whatever that are still in school, but just think about if you were finishing your year 12, your last year of school, and the people come along and say, what would you like to become? Any career. So you got the best of the best, president, actor, entrepreneur, scientist, professional athlete, whatever you want to become. And then they say, okay, here's the tutors, here's the counselors, the coaches to train you to become that person. And you become very successful, very rich, very famous. But what I'm asking, is that going to be your ultimate goal? You've got what you want? You see, I think we need to be prepared for what God has given us. Because there's always more. Yes, they won so many trophies, but they want another trophy. Because it's never enough. But if you're content, you know what you learned, you're able to teach either your children or somebody else, that they could be better. Because Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do in my name. And I was reading in Victoria now with the exams, as a young guy, just finished his ATAR examination, and he got 99.95 pass, which is first time in history. So somebody else must have encouraged him to get to that level. So whoever it was before him, prepared the way. Now, one day, that record will be shattered. Somebody will hit 100%. So this is what being prepared is. Being content with what God gave you. That you're going to use it for the better of others. Your family, your children, or somebody maybe that's looking up to you. And I remember, I've just got a small testimony. I was still back in South Africa working for a good company, and they used to send me over the border to go help another company because I'm a welder. And I've been there 3 times working with a gentleman that was from Holland, a Dutchman, Gus. He had his company and his workers. Every time I worked with him, I went back, came back 3 times. One day I came, was early in the morning, so it's about a 5-hour journey from where we lived. Got there, and we parked the cars on the road. We walked through the factory to the back. His workshop was at the back. And he said, you see from the road where we parked all the way up to here, I own all this. He says, I actually want to go over to Mozambique, which is just over the border from Swaziland. It's not far. I want to start guest housing, like chalets. It's another business. He said, I want somebody else to take over this business. I'm giving you the first opportunity. All you need to do, go back, refinance your house, come back, just change the name. Take over the workers, everything. I was shocked. I thought, man, I can't. This is too big. You know, I said, phew. But you see, the opportunity was there. I might not have been here today. I could have been a big businessman. But it was not God's plan. You see, God has a different plan to what we have in our heart. So I said, hey, thanks a lot, but I will go speak to my boss. And I went back, told the boss, oh, this is an opportunity to have another company there. Maybe you can send me there to run it. And he just went off, said, no way. Said, I'm happy with what's here. Forget about that. So, move on. That was not meant for me at that time. So, in life, we have been given opportunities. And we got to be good stewards and faithful ambassadors of what God has prepared for us. And when you look at an ambassador, what is an ambassador? Ambassador is one of the high-profile diplomats in government. He's not just anyone. He's one of the high-profile diplomats whom the government sends over to another country to represent that country. So you're going over, let's just say, from South Africa to Australia, to the embassy there. When the people come to you with problems, they're actually talking to the South African government. That's how trained this guy is. So we are also children of the kingdom of the Most High. We are here on earth, but we are representing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors. So the qualities of an ambassador, first of all, he's a strong leader. A strong leader, which means he's disciplined in different areas. Discipline is not an easy word. You're well balance well maintained. And secondly, he's a good manager. He knows his time schedules. He knows he's organizing his meetings, and everything is sorted because he's a good manager. And the last one is a resilient speaker, negotiator, somebody that can talk to the best. That means you've got a word in and out of season. You're ready. Somebody got a problem and they're sick or whatever, there's no fear. You know that I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. I'm standing in the gap. So you can pray. You know the word of God. You know everything. And so we need to train ourselves up in this field as ambassadors of the Most High God. We need to spend time in the word, spend time in prayer, spend time in church. This is where we get the word, because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. We can't go outside of church, let's just say, to a stadium. You're not going to hear the word there. It's just going to be soccer or footy. Or you go to a club, nightclub, you're not going to hear the word there. There's just other things going on. So we need faith by hearing the word. Spending time, reading, maybe listening now and again on a TV program. But this is where faith is coming from, the word of God. And when we look in Acts chapter 7, we have a look at a very strong one of the other disciples, not the 12. This is another one, Stephen. And we know the story that the learned men of the day could not contend with him because he was so full of the Holy Spirit. But what they were trying to say is, you're changing the people's minds from the religion of the day to the new sect, which is the way of Jesus Christ. But they just couldn't get Stephen. They just, whenever they said something, he was too quick for them. So what they do is falsely get some witnesses to say, yeah, we heard him saying certain things about, against the religion. So for that sake, now he has to be stoned. And so grab hold of Stephen, take him out the back, and they start stoning him. But who's present there? A man named Saul. And we see Saul was a very pious man in the religion. He'd do anything for his beliefs in Judaism. So Christians were being persecuted, being stoned like Stephen. And he could not believe his eyes when he saw Stephen. The guys are stoning him. And he's down on his knees with his hands open, saying, "Forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing." And he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing. Now we know Jesus rose and sat on the right hand next to the Father. But Stephen saw Jesus standing and applauding him for what he's done. This is an ambassador of the Most High God. And what has Stephen done? He has prepared the way for Saul, a murderer man that persecuted Christians and done everything for Judaism. But when he saw such faith, changed. The Lord spoke to him and he became one of the greatest disciples that ended up writing 1/3 of the New Testament because of his faithfulness. What he's been through, shipwrecked, beatings, starvation. 3 times was he declared dead, Paul. But this is what was set before him when he saw what Stephen did. You and I have a purpose too, yeah, today. is not worry about ourselves, but what plan has God for us? His purpose. That there's somebody else coming behind us that's going to learn something from us and is going to get to that level of being used in such a mighty way. And as we continue to see the faith of Paul, we know that faith means, well, I just broke it up, following. So you're following. So I remember when I was a young boy, we had a teacher that lived with us at our house. And she was from the south coast in South Africa. We lived on the north coast. And she came to teach in our little town. And then she took me home for a holiday. And met the other little brothers and sisters, had a good holiday. And then afterwards, we're going home. But those years, no cell phones. Things were a bit hard. So we're carrying our bags, big bags, all the way to the station. So we're walking. We must have walked about 500 meters. And we look back. We saw something look strange in the back. So we walk a little bit more. And we saw the little sisters following us. So she had to go back and say, you can't come with us. Maybe when you grow up one day, you can come with. But that's not the way we follow Jesus. Hiding a little bit and then coming out and following and then hiding. We've got to be right behind him as he leads us. Ready for his every turn. This is where we want to be. This is what we want to do. It's not hide and seek Christianity. It's serving the Lord because our faithful calling, and he's faithful and just to honor his word. So, following, always, the second A is always, not now and again or whenever, always, and in truth, and in hope, knowing that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, I'll get the musicians to come up as I go to the last scripture. Matthew 11. And this is Jesus talking. And what happened was John the Baptist, whom we know was such a great man of God, was in prison. And because he was imprisoned and he knew what the end is going to be, he sent disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that is coming? And Jesus said to the disciples, go back and tell John, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are risen, and the gospel is being preached to all the world. And when they went back, he said, of all the men born, or all the people born of a woman, there's no greater than John. So, John was really great. But he said, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven, my brother and sister, this is a great statement. That's you and I. We have the opportunity of having Jesus Christ in our life through the Holy Spirit that he's given, that he can be with all of us at the same time, that he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. That's us. Whatever we ask in his name, we have power through the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is suffering violence, which means Christians are being persecuted. Wherever you go, people are not interested in God. And then if you're a Christian, it's like, you know. But yet we know that Jesus said to get into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and only the violent can take it by force. So what does that mean? That means we can't be passive when it comes to spiritual warfare. When it comes to, I mean, the enemy is wreaking havoc. We've got divorce rate. We've got accidents on the roads. We've got murders all over. There's so much going on in the world, and we as Christians are just sitting back. We are not going to get people into the kingdom, and we're not getting into the kingdom that way. We got to get down on our knees. We got to take it by force. We got to shout to the Lord and say, Jesus, help us during this time. Amen? He's here for us. And all He wants us is to have faith in Him. That's why we say it is our faithful calling. Don't give up on Jesus. He's able to take you through. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.